Friday. It's the ninth day of September 2018, the year of our Lord at Zion Baptist Church. If you would, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll read from verse 15 through 23. Title of the message, The Exceeding Greatness of His Power. The exceeding greatness of His power. Ephesians 1, starting at verse 15, Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Our Father, we thank You for the reading of Your Word today. Blessed Holy Spirit, we pray that You would come down and help the servant to try and feed Your sheep. Help us, O Lord, to honor Christ, to exalt His name, and to bring glory to our Father. Get glory for Yourself today, Lord. Get glory for Yourself today through the preaching of Your Word and through the saints worshiping of You as the preaching is being done. The prayers that go up, may they bring You glory. Have mercy upon us and help us today, O Lord. We ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The exceeding greatness of His power, that's what it says there in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Brethren, may our heavenly, most holy Father help us today to see by faith the Lord Jesus as our head and surety.
Amen.
May He help us to see how great His power is in regeneration. May He help and cause us to see that as the man, the human man Jesus, lie dead, motionless, no breath left in His lifeless body, and as a dead man He could not raise Himself up. Neither can a spiritually dead man raise himself up out of that dead state except by the supernatural power of God, creating life in him by the power that God the Father used when He raised His Son from the dead.
Amen.
Man is dead in his trespasses and sin, dead and separated from God, and cannot come to Him until God raises him from the dead.
That's it.
Man's so-called free will has nothing to do with it. Revelation 1:5 says that Jesus is the first begotten from the dead. You know what a begetting is. It's being born. It's being given life. You remember all the begets in the Old Testament? This one begat that one, and this one begat that one, and it's being born. It's a giving of life. 1 Peter 1:3 said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can turn there if you want to. We're going to read about three verses of that. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, this scripture here in verses 15 through 23, the first part of this is prayer made by the apostle to the saints at Ephesus after he had heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. He ceased not to give thanks for them, making mention of you in my prayers, he says, that, and this was his prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, me and Brother Thomas must have been talking to the same fella about this knowledge of Him and how important it is for us to have this spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And the only way we can have that is from the reading and the study of the Word in much prayer and meditation upon it on a daily, hourly basis, contemplating on it, thinking about it. And here, verse 18, I don't think this is continuing his prayer, but maybe because the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, they had already been enlightened for these saints at Ephesus. They had been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They had been able and caused them, or the Spirit caused them to see just how sinful a people they were. How sinful their sins really are. Now we have offended the thrice holy God and completely depraved and worthy of eternal damnation. And we cry out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. That's because of the power of God that enlightens us to see ourselves sinners and to see how depraved and wicked we actually are. Now, His calling is irresistible.
Amen.
And that's what it says. His calling. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Well, the hope of His calling. His calling is irresistible and efficacious, everlasting and without repentance, I mean on His part. Not the preacher calling, even though He may use a servant to deliver the gospel and call for repentance, but His calling is what it takes to find repentance. His calling is what by the Holy Spirit produces spiritual life, the gift of faith that one might believe unto salvation. And the hope of His calling is the Lord Jesus Himself, resurrected and ascended on high, seated at His Father's right hand. That's the hope of His calling. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints are, we are His portion, the Bible says. The saints of God, the elect of God, we are His portion. He redeemed us from the kingdom of darkness. But it appears here from verses 13 and 14, He's talking about heaven itself with all its glory and riches. Eternal. Verse 13, it says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of our purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So it appears that he's talking about our eternal, everlasting home here. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? The objects of this greatness, the objects of this inheritance, the greatness of his power to usward who believe is the usward. Spoken of here, usward who believe. The Israel of God, the elect, when we are regenerated, we are become a new creation. This power is pointed out as different than the exerted power of God during the creation of all things. This is a different kind of power. It's different than the creation of all things power exerted. It's different than the power that will be used in the resurrection of the dead. It's different from the power of his wrath that will be displayed at the end. This power is expressed differently. This power is so exceeding great. When faith is implanted in believers and it continues and finishes the work that it started, this power is irresistible.
Amen.
It's also a new creation, a resurrection from the dead, the Bible explains it. The power of Satan is taken away so that he is no longer dominating over us. When this power that gives faith, when this power that resurrects us from the dead, being dead in our trespasses and sins, right there in Ephesians 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. It's a resurrection from the dead. This power that is exerted by God removes the stony heart. It removes the enmity between us and God. It is slain when this power that gives faith, implants faith in the believer, is exerted. It removes the enmity or slays the enmity that's between us and God. The old man is took down from his throne and thrown off with his deeds. That's this kind of power.
Amen.
This is, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? The exceeding greatness of this power during regeneration and the application or the implanting of faith in a human being, resurrecting him from the dead, Christ is formed in the soul. That's the exceeding greatness of this power.
Yes.
Our understanding is enlightened. Our will is subdued. That's the greatness of this power. That we should know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. It's a different kind of power than when he said, let there be light. It's a different kind of power than the wrath he'll pour out on the ungodly at the end. This is the kind of power that changes our affections, and they're no longer on things below, but now they're on things above. Our conscience is cleared and purified of the guilt that we had before. exceedingly great power. We should acknowledge and embrace this power exerted by God on believers when faith is implanted. We should recognize it. And there is a likeness and a connection between the power the Father used in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and the power exerted on the believer at regeneration, according to this scripture here that we've just read. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. There's a connection there. There is a likeness and a connection between the power that the Father used in the resurrection of the Lord and the power exerted on the believer at regeneration. When the Lord was resurrected by the Father, He was the surety for those that He died for. He represented every elect in our room instead.
Amen.
Imagine the power, the exceeding great power of God the Father raising His Son from the dead and sitting Him at His own right hand. He was raised again for our justification, the Bible says. As it said in Revelation, Christ was the first begotten from the dead. We also in conversion are raised from the dead. And as the resurrection of Christ was a pure display of the power of God, so our conversion, implanted faith, regeneration, is all of the power of God.
Amen.
And nothing to do with us. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So, He's over everything. He's over every magistrate. He's over every emperor. He's over every president. He's over every ruler. He's over good angels. He's over bad angels. His name is above every name. And He's seated at the right hand of God. And hath put all things under His feet. That comes from Psalm 8:6. Hath put all things under His feet. And over there in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 8, he says again, the apostle. Verse 7, Thou madest Him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedest Him with glory and honor and didst set Him over the works of Thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under His feet. For in that He put all in subjection under him, He left nothing that is not put under Him. But now we see not yet all things put under Him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And again, in 1 Corinthians 15, the apostle there, in 1 Corinthians 15, and I believe in verse 27. For He hath put all things under His feet. But when He saith all things are put under Him, it is manifest that He is accepted, which did put all things under Him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. That's only Christ as the mediator, and as man, the Father is not subject to the Son. The Son of God is God. He is Jehovah God and is not subject to the Father. And the Holy Spirit the same. They're all three of the same nature and not subject to one another as being lower than the other one. They're all God. All God. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why then are they baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour, our protest at your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord? I die daily. The apostle was a very humble man, but there were times when he had to protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. And if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. We were resurrected from the dead, and when this earthly body lays down, we'll be resurrected on that great day of the Lord when He comes. It is a wonderful thing, this exceeding great power of God that raises us from the dead. I'm talking about in regeneration, raises us from the dead and raised the Lord Jesus from the dead and put him on the right hand of God in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. And that's exactly what we are. We are his body, we are his portion, and he has been given to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We are his fullness. That's what he came here for. That's the reason he came to this earth. And we are his fullness. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. We are his body and he is our head. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ the same as God the Father and the same with God the Holy Spirit. We worship him. He is our Savior and he is our Redeemer. And the power of his Father that raised him from the dead is in great likeness with the power that he uses to raise us from the dead in regeneration and implanting of faith in us, which causes us to believe. And therefore, when he calls, we're coming. That calling is without repentance, and that calling is irresistible. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. That great inheritance that we have is eternal life and an eternal home in heaven where we'll forever be with the Lord. Amen. And I thank the Lord that he implanted faith in his people. In regeneration, he implants faith that'll never die. It'll always be there, and he will continue in the work of the believer in sanctification day by day. His faith will be increased, and it will be completed when we die or the Lord returns, whichever comes first. That faith will be completed. His work in us will be completed. It will not end. That same power that it took to implant that faith in us and resurrect us from the dead, from the trespasses and sins that we were dead in spiritually, that same power will carry us through until the end and complete the work that he started in us, so that when we get to heaven, we will be meet for heaven. We'll be prepared for it. We'll be ready for it. And that work is not is not always easy for us. That work is not always tender on us, but that work is continuous in us and will be completed before the Lord returns, or before we cross that Jordan River. It will be completed in us. We'll stop there for today. Brother Pappy, would you ask the Lord's blessings on us? It was good for Paul and Silas. It's good enough for me.
Amen, brother. That was another good message, Brother Lynn.
Oh, bless you, dear brother.
Amen.